India will accept people from all faiths except Islam. This is creating inequality. The government is damaging the country's basic structure.
A diversity of India's residents protest a new law. It's Monday, December 23rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Follow us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, North Korea is listening to VOA and not happy about it. Bushfires ignite political heat. Impeachment explained. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Among the protesters rallying in India against a controversial new citizenship law that critics call anti-Muslim are thousands of female students and conservative Muslim women who seldom appear in public places. The law has excluded Muslims from six religious groups who will get expedited citizenship if they fled persecution in Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan. At a university in the Indian capital, which has been at the forefront of protests, Anjana Pasricha talks to women to find out why they've emerged on the streets.
Fauzia is among the sea of student protesters in New Delhi, demanding that the government scrap a new law that introduces religion as a criterion for citizenship for persecuted minorities from neighboring countries.
India will accept people from all faiths except Islam. This is creating inequality. The government is damaging the country's basic structure.
Some of the women chanting freedom outside Jamia Millia Islamia University don't reveal their faces or names. Housewives, mothers, young and old have joined the students. It is unusual. Muslims have almost never spearheaded protests in India, and most Muslim women stay away from public places. Now, their numbers keep rising amid fears that the new law will relegate Muslims to second-class citizens. The government has defended the law as a compassionate measure, but its efforts to quell the protests have added to the fury. Rabia Sun was among those who got injured last week when police entered the university library.
Those of us who wear these clothes seldom come out of our homes, but the situation has gotten out of hand. That is why I'm out. Till they don't scrap the bill, I will be out protesting.
Protesters are also demanding that Prime Minister Narendra Modi's Hindu nationalist government cancel plans to roll out a citizens' register that will require all Indians to submit proof of their nationality. The government's assurances that Indian Muslims will not lose their citizenship has failed to calm fears that their exclusion from the new law makes them vulnerable.
Yeah, why do we have to prove our citizenship? First of all, our forefathers have fought for this nation.
The protesters have been joined by many non-Muslims who fear the law damages India's tradition of a pluralistic society.
Yeah, I'm a Hindu, but this bill is affecting me because my fellow citizens and my fellow students are being affected by this. In my entire one and a half years in my Jamia, I've been with my Muslim friends. I've shared my lunch with them. I've went to their home in Eid and I've celebrated their festivals.
It remains to be seen whether these protests continue, but they underline growing fears among Muslims and Modi's critics that his government is pressing ahead with the Hindu nationalist agenda. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. NATO leaders turn attention to rising China challenge. Afghanistan's Ghani wins majority in bitterly contested polls. Modi defends India citizenship law as protests continue. Read and watch much more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. North Korea lashed out Saturday at the U.S. State Department's recent criticism of its human rights record warning Washington would pay dearly for what it called reckless remarks. The comments come amid tensions over North Korea's end-of-year deadline for nuclear talks, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
North Korea specifically took issue with a recent VOA interview of a senior State Department official who said the U.S. remains deeply concerned about North Korean human rights abuses. In a statement via state media, North Korea's foreign ministry said those comments were like pouring oil over a burning fire. The controversy comes at a particularly tense moment. North Korea has threatened to walk away from nuclear talks and has promised the U.S. an ominous Christmas gift. That gift could be a long-range missile launch or other provocation. The U.S. is also gradually increasing pressure. On Friday, the State Department renewed its designation of North Korea as a violator of religious freedom. U.S. President Donald Trump also signed legislation tightening sanctions on North Korea. The U.S. has been accused of sending mixed messages on North Korean human rights issues. Earlier this month, the Trump administration prevented a United Nations Security Council meeting on North Korean human rights abuses, effectively blocking the meeting for the second consecutive year. Reports suggested the move was meant to preserve the chances for diplomacy. Human Rights Watch said the decision sent a clear message to North Korea and other abusive governments that the U.S. is prepared to look away regarding rights violations. However, by signing the sanctions legislation Friday, Trump is applying major additional pressure. The legislation calls for mandatory sanctions on North Korean imports and exports of textiles, coal, and other natural resources. It also calls for sanctions on banks that deal with North Korea. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
We're happy you're with us on a brand new week at VOA Asia. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has apologized for going on vacation while the country struggled with a worsening bushfire crisis. Since September, the emergency has killed at least 10, destroyed more than 700 homes, and scorched millions of hectares. Morrison is back in Australia now, where his leadership is under scrutiny. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
I'm now directing a move off this temporarily closed roadway so that we can reopen the road. I warn you that should you fail to comply with my direction, you may be arrested. Force may be used. Do you understand, Izzy? You need to leave now. Are you going to leave for me?
13-year-old Izzy Raj Seppings was told she could be arrested outside Morrison's official residence in Sydney. With her father, the Australian schoolgirl had joined hundreds of protesters demanding that Morrison take the threat of global warming more seriously. They argue that a drier, warmer climate is increasing Australia's vulnerability to bushfires. As the fires raged across the country, Morrison was on vacation in the United States. He was criticised for leaving the country during a crisis. He's apologised, but is defending his government's climate policies.
Look, I think Australians are fair-minded about this. They know at the end of a difficult year, people go and leave, and they know when Dad makes a promise to their kids, they like to keep it. But nevertheless, I understand the anxiety and why people have been upset by this, and that's why I'm pleased to be back and to front up. I said we will meet our 26% emissions reduction target. Emissions per year today under our government are on average 50 million tonnes a year less than they were under the previous government.
Morrison has visited the Rural Fire Service headquarters in Sydney and was briefed about the emergency in New South Wales, where more than 100 fires burn. Conditions Sunday have eased, allowing fire crews to prepare for more dangerous days in the weeks ahead. Bushfires have always been part of the Australian story, but this fire season has not only started earlier than usual, it is far more intense. The authorities say some of the fires will only be extinguished by heavy rain. However, weather officials say no major rainfall is expected in the next 2 months. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Coming up, you've heard a lot about it. We explain impeachment. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia. President Donald Trump on Saturday said the United States and China would very shortly sign their so-called Phase One trade pact. The Phase One deal was announced earlier this month as part of a bid to end the months-long tit-for-tat trade war between the world's two largest economies. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, 2019 will be remembered as the year the U.S. House of Representatives impeached a president of the United States for just the third time in U.S. history. While it's highly unlikely the Republican-majority U.S. Senate will remove Donald Trump from office in 2020, lawmakers' battles over impeachment exposed deep partisan divides that are changing the political discussion in the United States. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports on this year's political stalemate.
The most serious vote a Speaker of the House can announce. A vote only two U.S. presidents had faced before Donald Trump.
The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security by withholding military aid and crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into his political rival.
But the facts of Trump's July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that launched 3 months of investigation by the House and 80 hours of public testimony.
We followed the president's orders.
Were fiercely debated, ultimately spawning charges against Trump in the form of articles of impeachment, alleging he abused the power of his office and obstructed Congress's efforts to investigate him.
Our nation is founded on the principle that we do not have kings, we have presidents, and the Constitution is our compass. When you see something that is not right, not just, not fair, you have a moral obligation to say something, to do something.
Democrats argued Trump compromised American democracy by inviting foreign interference into the 2020 presidential election.
When the president sacrifices our interests, our national security, for his election, he is sacrificing our country for his personal gain. What is at risk here is the very idea of America. That idea holds that we are a nation of laws, not of men.
The White House released a summary of Trump's July 25th phone call in late September following a whistleblower's complaint about the president's conduct, fueling widely differing interpretations by the White House and Democrats.
I have to put up with Adam Schiff on an absolutely perfect phone call to the new president of Ukraine. That was a perfect call.
Republicans also protested the way Democrats handled the investigation.
We're going in.
Staying united in their defense of the president, arguing Democrats were trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election.
They hate the 63 million Americans who voted for this president.
The intense rhetoric.
I am deeply concerned that any member of the House would spout Russian propaganda.
Marking a troubling turning point in the tone and substance of the nation's political debate.
We are in a state of heightened partisan polarization, and there's no question that the polarization affects what's going on now with impeachment. In a way, in fact, that I think we didn't see in previous impeachments, not with Clinton impeachment, not with Nixon impeachment.
In the end, the debate changed few minds on Capitol Hill, or as public opinion polling showed, in the rest of the country. The final vote on impeachment fell almost entirely along party lines, setting the stage for a fierce battle early next year over Trump's trial in the U.S. Senate. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Of course, you'll find us on iTunes and SoundCloud and our website at voanews.com. But you know, you can also see us, yes, on YouTube. Follow us on VOA Asia Twitter as well. And hear us on the radio, like Helps Radio at Help University in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Hello and welcome to everyone listening there today. We're glad to have you with us. Please come back again. We'd like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.